I guess I better introduce myself. Some of you don't know who I am. I'm not usually at this service. I'm Ed Glaze. I'm one of the pastors here. And I do get to preach here about every month or so, but it's a joy to be with you and sharing this space with you this day, this first Sunday in Advent. It's also a Sunday where we come off this great celebration of Thanksgiving, which is something that I hope that's not just a one-day-a-year event for you. I hope Thanksgiving is a part of who we are as believers in this God who provides so richly for us. Great to see you here. We're starting a series of sermons for the Advent Christmas season entitled, Come Home for Christmas. Come Home for Christmas. And there is a sense of longing, of wanting to come home, isn't there? We've been through some tough times here in our society and in our world. I mean, we were fragile anyway before the pandemic, and then boom, we have all this that we're having to stay home or be socially distant or wear masks because there's a sense of alienation. And one of the big signs and symbols of that is that if you saw on the news a week and a half ago, 100,000 people lost their lives this past year through drug overdoses. That's a sign, y'all, that people are broken and hurting and are longing for something. Think about that number. The state I move from Alabama, there's only four cities in that state that are over 100,000 people. In this county, there's 50-some thousand people. That's twice the population of this county. Can you imagine all those people gone in a moment? That's what our nation has faced this past year and our world is facing. And we wonder how long we're going to have to struggle to be apart. Well, this longing is kind of like wanting to come home, isn't it? We are wanting to feel like we are being brought back into a place where we feel welcomed and where we feel like that we belong. Because home is hard to define, isn't it? For so many people, we ask, where is home? We had some dear friends that we've known since the time when I was in the service that were here this weekend, and they asked, you know, where do you consider home, Ed? And, you know, that's kind of hard for someone that's moved around some as an Air Force officer and a Methodist pastor. And that's a hard question for a lot of people in our world to define. I mean, we live in a mobile society, don't we? People go from one place to another for jobs. And in this planet in which we live in, where so many people are oppressed, so many people are dealing with issues that they say, I've got to get out of here. So they're moving all over the place, migrating from one part of the world to the other because they're struggling so much. You ask, where's home? Jesus said this about home, that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place in which to lay his head. What Jesus is saying is that there's really no place on earth that he could call home, and in reality, there's nowhere on earth that we really can call home. Even if you've lived here all your life, those of you that are natives here, have things changed? Are you awake? Yeah, things have changed, right? In your own personal household, people move away. Folks leave us and go on to be with the Lord. Our children grow up. This town has grown a whole lot. You know, there used to be a farm down just on New Market Road, and now there's a big silo there, but there's a lot of barbershops and buildings and all sorts of stuff. Things are changing. And people are wondering, where is home? Well, C.S. Lewis talks about that in this great term he calls Sehnsucht. This, you know, C.S. Lewis, a great author and apologist of the last century, it's the German word for yearning. We yearn for something more that can't be satisfied in this life without God. St. Augustine put it this way in his Confessions, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts grow restless until we find our rest in the home. That's what this series is about. Trying to find a way to a place where our yearnings and desires are met the only way they can be in this life and the life to come. That's in God and Jesus Christ. Coming to a place where we hear experience what God longs for each of us to be at home in God and God alone. And y'all, this is the time to invite folks to come home, to come to church. Last week I said in the sanctuary service, and I believe Vern said it here too, this is the time of year to invite people. Folks are more open to an invitation to church during Advent and Christmas than at any other time. 86% of the people in the country who end up coming to church come because someone invites them, someone that they know. 67% of the Americans are still open to an invitation to come to church. Well, guess who's going to do the inviting? Invite people to come home. You are. So you may know somebody that hadn't been in a long time. This is time to invite them. You may know somebody that doesn't go to church or someone doesn't have this wonderful relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. This is time to invite them right now. And if you're watching online, thank you for doing that. And you may not feel comfortable coming back yet. We get that. But maybe this is a time that you might have a friend, a neighbor, someone that you want to say, hey, come on, tune in with me. Let's grab a cup of coffee and watch on Sunday morning or at another time. And then talk about what you experienced. Because as we discuss what we experience in this place, it goes deep down into our hearts, into our souls, and into our families' lives, into our home. So, for the next four Sundays and on Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about coming home. And I hope it'll be a blessing for you. Our scripture text for this morning comes from the Good News according to Luke. And we're going to be going through Luke's gospel, the telling of the Christmas story. And so we'll be looking at chapters 1 and 2 of Luke during these 4 weeks. So, in respect of the gospel message, would you please stand? And now hear the word of the Lord as found in the Good News according to Luke, the first chapter, starting with verse 5. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there's a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll name him John. You'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even for his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. The spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this is so? For I'm an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you'll become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away my disgrace I have endured among my people." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yeah, we're going to talk some today about a faithful old couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. In the midst of their disappointment, in the midst of their shame, they remained faithful. And God heard their prayer, and through their faithfulness, they were able to hear good news, because today's message is coming home to good news. Coming home to good news. The scripture tells us that Zechariah was a priest. He was one of the descendants of Aaron. He was in this order of Abijah. There's 24 orders of priesthood. And during the year, each one was selected to go and serve a time in the temple. So it was his time to go with his group in his area to go serve in the temple. And it also says this: Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron. So this is a special couple, y'all. They both descend from the priestly caste. These are people that are well thought of. These are people that were ordained to be special and faithful in their work in the temple and amongst the people. Yet, did you note what it said there? That Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth was childless. And you see, in that day and time, for a woman not to have a child was a great source of shame to that woman. Now, they didn't know all the science. It could have been old Zechariah's fault, you know. But she was without child. And they both had to endure great hardship because of that. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 20, there's this king Abimelech, and they face some sort of curse because there's some sinfulness, they said, in their household. None of the women, none of the servants, none of the animals were having children until Abraham came, made a sacrifice, provided atonement for their sinfulness, and then the wombs of the women were opened. They had children, the servants had children, they began to produce livestock because there was some sinfulness in their household. We read about other characters in the Old Testament longing and to have a child. There's Abraham and Sarah. There was Rebecca and Isaac. We hear about Hannah. We hear about the mother of Samson, all praying, all childless, all enduring this hardship. Psalm 27 says this: "Blessed is the person who has children in their youth. May they be like a quiver of arrows full for that man, that they will prevent him from knowing shame in his old age and during the court." You see, to not have children was a sign that something was wrong in your relationship with God. And can't you hear the talk in that Judean hillside village? They've been saying, "Well, Zechariah might be a priest, and she might be from a priestly family, but we know they're doing something wrong because they don't have any kids." You know, you can hear the gossip that was going around in the neighborhood. "I wonder what's wrong with them. I wonder why God's cursing them. I wonder what sinfulness is in their life." And every time they'd go to the market, they'd see a family from there with all the kids, and it's a source of shame, and some people elbowing them and saying, "Yeah, well, I wonder what you've done wrong, Zechariah. Why aren't you having children?" And the more generous of them were probably thinking, "I wonder what's going to happen to Zechariah and Elizabeth when they get old." See, they didn't have welfare, no Social Security, no pension funds. The way that someone survived into old age is that they went and moved in to the children's household. Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't have that. And it was a source of fear, a source of shame, a source of bitterness and disappointment in their lives. I imagine that most everybody in this room has faced some sort of disappointment, some sort of heartache, some sort of struggle. It may have happened For some of you at an early age, you tried your hardest, prepared, worked out, did everything you knew to make the ball team, and you didn't make that team. You're disappointed. Maybe a lot of your friends did, but no, you didn't get to do that. Or you studied your hardest for that test that you had to do well on to get into that certain school. And no matter how hard you tried and how much you worked and how much you studied, you didn't do well enough to get into that certain school, and you're disappointed. Or it may be from the earliest childhood you've had some sort of ailment, something that held you back, kept you from enjoying all the things that your friends enjoyed. And there's that disappointment in your life. Or you may have struggled to get that job and you saw someone else get that job and you said, "Why, that's not fair. I mean, I deserve that promotion and someone else did." And there's that bitterness that can root into your heart. And there's that disappointment, maybe even a failure. Or this is maybe even worse than all. You struggled so hard to climb that ladder. And as you climbed that ladder of success and you gave up all sorts of things to make sure that you were the top of your game professionally, and when you get to the top of the ladder, you realize it's leaning on the wrong wall. Or you've invested so much time and energy into your children, and as they grow older, they become such a disappointment by the decisions that you had no control over them making, they make. And life is frustrating. It's disappointing. There's agony there. Maybe even some shame. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, you could just turn all away, or you could do like Zechariah and Elizabeth did. See what the text says? It said that they followed religiously the law of the Lord. They were righteous in every way. They were righteous in every way. They kept all the commandments of God, not just the Ten Commandments, all 613 commandments of the Lord. That means if there's someone poor in their community, they were taken care of by Zechariah and Elizabeth. That means if someone was a stranger, an alien, or someone that was new to town, they got welcomed into Zechariah and Elizabeth's home. That means there was no pork barbecue or shrimp in Zechariah and Elizabeth's home. Now, why they want to do that, I do not know. But they were obedient to all the laws, you see. Because of that, they were open. They were open to hear some good news. For y'all, there's so many times in the lives of people that when that disappointment comes, when struggles arrive, they give up. They lose their faith, or they're quitting on their relationship. Jesus spoke about this in the parable of the sower. Jesus describes four types of soil. I won't get into all of them, but he talks about the soil where the seed is planted in the shallow ground. And it grows quickly. It thrives. There's some joy there because I've got this faith in God. And as soon as some heartache hits, as soon as some disappointment arrives, as soon as the way grows tough, well, Jesus says it's like the sun beating down upon that plant that has no root, and it quickly dies. This story is all too familiar. I knew a young man who was very close to his grandmother, loved her dearly. She spoiled him like anything. And yet, the grandmother contracted cancer, and it was really tough, really serious. And this boy who had this faith in God said, "I'm going to pray for Granny. I'm going to make sure she's going to be okay because she's my best friend. I love her so much. I know God wouldn't want anything bad to happen to her." And he prays and prays and he prays. And yet, the grandmother, who's only 68, that age is getting younger all the time, y'all, dies. And this young man says, "If that's the way God is going to treat someone that I love so much, someone that's so good, someone that was a follower of Jesus. I don't have anything to do with this, God. Because I'm so disappointed in you, God. I prayed hard. And Granny was such a good woman. Why, God? Why? And yeah, this guy believes that there's some force out there that created everything. But right now, anyway, he's packed in his Christian faith and said, I can't believe in a God that would allow something like that to happen. That would disappoint me. Been there? Been there? If we take that route, if we go into the direction of following the path of bitterness and losing out on our relationship, or we don't take time to be faithful, we'll miss out on hearing the good news that God has in store for us in the midst of our disappointment, in the midst of our frustration, in the midst of our anxiety. Because that is when God speaks to us the most. You see, when we're at our lowest, y'all, that's when he wants to deliver the word the most. Later on in this chapter, we'll see how Mary says this: he lifts up the lowly. He lifts up the lowly. And it's only in our faithfulness can we hear that word. Abraham. Now, you remember Abraham. You might remember his story. 75 years old when he's told that he was going to be a daddy. Anyone 75 out there? And can you imagine that here comes someone and says, yeah, you know, you're going to have a baby. Reminds me of a story of a woman named Margaret in my church in Montgomery, and she came into Bible study just laughing and laughing. I said, Margaret, what are you laughing about? She said, oh, I just had fun with the radiologist. I said, what do you mean? She said, I was having an x-ray, and Margaret was now about 80 years old. And she said to the technician, as they were putting her on the table, said, now this won't harm the baby, will it? Can you imagine if Abraham had not been faithful? Can you imagine if Sarah had not followed after the will of God? They would have never been the father and mother of us. Well, here is Zechariah, remaining faithful in the midst of the shame, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of questioning. He remains faithful. And he goes to the temple. And maybe their prayers had changed. You know, he's now an old man. Zechariah, who knows his age, but it says he's an old man. And Elizabeth, well, she ain't doing too well herself. And so maybe their prayers had changed from, Lord, give us a child, to said, Lord, somehow reveal your goodness to us. Lord, how can we still be faithful in the midst of this? Lord, you know, somehow can we still give you glory? Lord, you know, we don't see any other way. You're going to have to care for us. In the midst of this trust, in the midst of their being faithful, God speaks. God speaks. It's only when we stay faithful in the midst of our disappointment that we'll hear the Lord speak. And he did. Zechariah is there in the inner court of the temple. It's the temple they have, it's a huge temple, the one that he was a part of. It's the one built by King Herod. It took 53 years to build. It's the when you get the blessing to go to the Holy Land, you'll see the big stones of that temple still remaining. Okay, so he goes into the big courtyard, and then he goes through the courtyard of the Gentiles, and he enters into the inner sanctuary. Now, he doesn't go to the very back where the Holy Holy is. He's in that part in front of the curtain, and he's there offering incense. Now, what's really interesting about this is that some priests in their entire life never get to do this. He was chosen by lot to go in there. It's a great honor. It's like being a United Methodist preacher from Alabama getting to be appointed to Boone United Methodist Church. I mean, it is a great privilege. It's something that doesn't happen all that often. And he goes in there, and as he's lighting the incense and offering the prayers of the people, boom, the angel comes. And the only reason that he can hear the words of the angel is that he stayed faithful. And the angel says to him, guess what? Your prayers have been answered. And you got to think that Zechariah wondered to himself, what prayer is that? You know, is this a prayer about faithfulness? Is this a prayer about giving honor to God? I mean, surely he's not talking about this prayer that I, you know, kind of gave up hope on years ago. But the angel said this, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. And that son is going to bring joy to many people. He's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will turn the hearts of many unto the Lord. Now, Zechariah reacted like a lot of us would react, wouldn't we? You kidding me? You kidding me? You know how old I am? You know how old I am? You know how old the old lady is? This ain't going to happen, I don't think. And then Gabriel gets a little puffed up. He says, I have been sent from God on high to be here. I stand right next to him at his right side. I am Gabriel. And because you did not believe, well, Elizabeth's prayers are answered. Her preacher husband is struck mute. And he can't tell the good news to anybody. But there is good news. Sometimes coming in the most unexpected of ways, isn't it? There is good news as we remain faithful. I think about a faithful old couple in a congregation I served in southeastern Alabama, Arnold and Joanne. They were the epitome of faithfulness. He gave very generously to the church as a chair of the trustees. He taught Sunday school. Joanne sang in the choir, and she was there every Sunday. Yet they had no kids. And talking to them, they said, yeah, we were disappointed, but we stayed committed to our faith, and God has done great things in our lives. He has blessed us so richly, and because of this, we are going to bless the lives of others. And they established a scholarship fund for every young person that goes through that church. They can have their way to college paid. And people are being blessed because they stayed faithful and they sought to honor God, even in the midst of their disappointment. Even in the midst of their disappointment. How are you going to honor God in the midst of the disappointments that you face? Yeah, so you didn't make the team. Well, what now, God? What would you have me do? How can I honor you? So you don't get to go to that school you had hoped to go to. How am I going to honor you, God, in taking this different path? And you're going to see how God will bless you so richly. Yeah, God, how can we honor you that I'm not working that job that I thought I wanted to work? Show me, God, how can I remain faithful where I am serving here and now, where I have been placed? How can I honor you? How can I be faithful? And in that faithfulness, God will speak. Particularly when you are struggling and seeking how to be faithful in that struggle. In our own dark time, which sometimes is still dark, after the tragic loss of our son, there's been questions. How could I be more faithful, God? How could you let this happen, God? I'm serving a church. A church is growing rapidly. I was housing a homeless guy in an extra bedroom. God, why did this happen? And it was very tempting to give up on it all. But in the struggle and in the questioning and in saying, God, somehow, how can I experience your goodness? God, somehow I believe that you're still here. We hear the voice of God speaking to us. In the prayers of incarcerated men at Fountain Correctional Institute, through the hugs of many people who came to be there to comfort us, through the cards, through the letters, through the prayers of so many folks. And in trying to still be faithful, we hear God say, your boy's okay, and you're going to be okay too. God, as we listen, as we seek after God in the midst of whatever struggle you're dealing with, as we remain committed and we remain faithful, we'll hear some good news. And that good news will help us to move forward, to experience goodness even in the midst of our struggles. Our story ends here for this week with, Elizabeth seeming to like the strong, silent type. Because she becomes pregnant. And this wasn't an immaculate conception, y'all. The romance was kindled between this old couple. And she is with child. And she, like a lot of us during this Advent season, is waiting for God to reveal something. And as we wait, the prophet Isaiah says something about that. Those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will walk and not grow weary. They'll run all the way home and not faint. Y'all, that's good news. May you receive the good news that God has in store for you as we wait upon Him and remain faithful. Let us pray. We come before you, God, acknowledging sometimes that life is disappointing. We don't get that job we wanted to get. We don't enter into that school we wanted to go into. Sometimes, Lord, everything that we strived for, everything that we've sought after does come true, and it is so empty. So, Lord, help us in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our disappointments and our failures, to not submit to fear and to bitterness, but somehow remain faithful to you. And in that faithfulness, Lord, we can hear you speak good news to us in the midst of whatever we are dealing with, whatever we're going through, that you say, I have something good in store for you. To stay connected to me, faithful to me, and I will bless you so that the world will be blessed through you. May it be so, Lord, for each and every one of us, as we remain faithful to you and to your word and to your love. Now, God, send us forth open to your good news that will lead us home. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.